Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk with your host, Dr. Tanisha Guy, and her co-hosts, Steve J. and marriage and family therapist expert, Fatima. This show is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is encourage dialogue across ages, gender, religious backgrounds, ethnicity, and sexual orientation. Feel free to join in the discussion. We want to hear what you think. And don't forget to tell friends about Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk.
Everyone, we are back this Sunday with Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk, and I am Dr. Tanisha Guy. And so I just first want to say that if you missed the show last week, make sure you go to my YouTube channel at Dr. Tanisha Guy and catch a replay of it, because it was such a good show. So we are definitely going to do a part two, because so many of you guys said that we needed to continue that. So this Sunday, we're going to go ahead and get started. We have Miss Fatima today. Hey, Fatima.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Guy.
Hi. Hello, everybody. I'm excited about this show, but also very nervous, as I expressed to you. Here, your resident social justice warrior. Let's get it.
So today we're going to talk about a topic that has been discussed over and over and over. But today I think Fatima John put a twist on it. So today we're looking at the concept of colorism, and is it currently impacting modern day women and a specific group of women? So Fatima, you are interested in us discussing this topic today. So go ahead. How would you like us to start?
Okay. So first, I just want to kind of invite everyone into how this came about. Full disclosure, I do not consider myself a light-skinned black woman, but I also am very well aware of the fact that no one would ever consider me dark-skinned either. So I feel like it's important for me to say that and give that context. I'm usually on the other side of this issue. I'm usually the person championing the need to elevate and highlight dark-skinned black women. I personally believe dark-skinned women are the most beautiful women on the planet. Like, I regularly girl crush on dark-skinned women. I love dark skin. And I love it so much that if there were a skin darkening cream, I would use it. Like, I'm not the person looking to bleach. I'm the person that's like, no, I don't want the moisturizer with the sunblock. Like, and it's really funny how perception shapes the way we view things and the way we see the world. Because in my worldview, dark skin sisters are winning. Like, and that makes me happy. Like, that makes me happy. I get excited that the most visible actresses we see are women like Viola Davis and Lupita Nyong'o and Janelle Monáe and Regina King. And I mean, I can, Issa Rae, like, I can go on and on and on, right? So that excites me. And so generally when I hear light-skinned women complaining about certain issues, I kind of roll my eyes because I a lot of times just kind of feel like, really? Like, what do you have to complain about? Like, in a world that preferences lighter skin, where proximity mm-hmm. to whiteness is preferential in most communities of color, I have this usual knee-jerk reaction that, you know, like, I don't want to hear these, you know, your light-skinned girl, I don't need to see your light-skinned girl tears. I don't want to hear these sad light-skinned girl stories. and again, this is coming from somebody who, you know, as I said earlier, no one would ever consider me dark-skinned, but that's just kind of how I view things, because I also understand that historically and even still today, in many, many ways, it is more difficult in many different areas for darker-skinned individuals. And so I don't like to get into these oppression Olympics as far as who has it the worst or who's got it harder, right? And so a lot of times when I hear lighter-skinned women complaining about hardships that they face, I'm a little less open to having a soft space in my heart for it. Not that I don't. But I think I have a softer space for darker skinned individuals. Now, having mm-hmm. said that, now that you understand kind of where I sit, what happened for me a few weeks ago, I had a different reaction to a lot of feelings that were expressed regarding the couples being featured on this new season of the documentary Black Love, because when they released the picture of the cast, immediately black women went in and it was like, oh, all these light-skinned women, all of the women are light-skinned. And then that turned into a thing about, like, you know, the not even really black and all of this other stuff. And then, so there's that. And then immediately after that, on the heels of that, you have Tracee Ellis Ross on the cover of a magazine, and black women went in. And not just because they didn't like the fact that her hair was in plaits, but there was also a lot of conversation about blackness and what is black. And this was shocking for me because there were a lot of black women who were saying she's not even black, which was weird because not only does the world experience her as a black woman, like Tracee Ellis could never pass for anything other than black, and granted she is biracial, but she self-identifies as a black woman. That's mm-hmm. how she identifies. And so it was shocking for me because there was this whole conversation, like, biracial people really being black people, She's not really black. She doesn't represent black women. And I understand hair politics. So there was also this hair politics thing going on about, like, you know, softer curled hair is more preferential to tightly coiled hair. And I get that because I know as black women across the diaspora, we have stuff. There's so. Today, I want to have a come to Jesus moment with black women. All of us. But especially in this space, I just kind of felt like as all of that was going on, I just kind of felt like, especially with the black love part, like, who are light-skinned black women allowed to date, number one? And number two, who decides what's black or black enough? So we get into these conversations about colorism, right? And so I understand, you know, that colorism usually has, or not usually, but does have a lot to do with preferencing lighter skin, I'm sorry, but I just lost my words. Preference in lighter skin, the lighter your skin is, the more privileges you have, the more privileges you can receive, right? And so that all of that is really rooted in white supremacy, you know, slavery, colonization. And so we have, a lot of us have internalized these white supremacist ideals, and so that we don't even realize that we have bought into it, and it is shaping the way that we see certain things, or maybe even the people that we choose to date or not to date. So I completely understand that part of it, and so I can understand how for darker skinned women maybe feeling like, and I've heard men say, you know, things like they wouldn't want to date a dark skinned woman. But you know what I've also heard? I've also heard dark skinned women say they don't want to date dark skinned men because they don't want their babies to be dark. Or because, like, for whatever the reason is, or, you know, he's too black. I can't tell you how many dark-skinned women I've heard say stuff like that. So this is not just a thing where men are preferencing one complexion over the other, but we have to be honest about the fact that there are a lot of women who are preferencing one complexion over the other as well. So, like, let's have a real honest come-to-Jesus conversation about this, and what is the difference between preference and exclusion, right? So I have a preference. Like, if you look at a lot of, in fact, somebody said to me once, like, most of your exes look like the same person. I like tall, very dark skinned men with bald heads or low haircuts that wear glasses. I have a type. Okay, it is very specific.
Okay, yes. But is that okay? Because you're asking the question, and I'm about to come back and ask you that very question. So, is there a difference between someone saying I have a type, i.e., tall, dark, bald head with glasses? Is that a type preference, or is that exclusion? Like, are you excluding?
Right, and that's what I'm getting That's what I'm getting ready to say. So there's a difference between preference and exclusion. I have that preference, but not every man I've dated has looked like that. So that's what I might naturally gravitate toward, but I'm not exclusive. Like, I would not date someone who didn't fit that mold if they were a good guy, they treated me well, we had things in common, right? So in that, so exclusion would be like, I only date light-skinned men, or I only date dark-skinned men, and I only date them because they are somehow better because because the lighter skinned men are better to me, or I think they're smarter, or they like whatever the thing is. So it's creating you know, this negative thing about this other group, and so I exclusively date this other group. I think that is problematic. Having a preference, that's okay. We are preferences are things that we are attracted to or we naturally gravitate toward, but I think it's also important to be open that, you know, someone outside your preference can also date. And so I was having a conversation when this all happened with the guy that I'm dating, who is a tall, dark-skinned black man with a bald head and wears glasses.
Bald head.
And he... and so he said to me, it's really interesting because in his experience, he has a preference, and like we have very open and honest conversations. So he's like, I have a preference for dark skinned women, and I am very clear on that. I know that, like, I know he loves the darker the better. So I know this. And in fact, the funny thing is, in my life, most of the men I've been most crazy about have had a preference for dark skinned women. And I get it. Like, and I'm like, I completely understand. But he was like, in his experience, it's the lighter skinned women who are the ones that's trying to holler. He was like, lighter skinned women tend to be a little more aggressive. Like, they're the ones that's trying to holler. And so it's not a situation where it's like, I'm looking for light-skinned women. My preference is a dark-skinned woman. But they tend to not be checking for me the same. So I think that these are all nuances that we have to think about when we're having these discussions. But to get it back to my original question, who are light-skinned women allowed to date? Like, what's okay? Like, what wouldn't send people into, like, shock mode and make them somehow question how down this man is? You know, if he's dating a light-skinned woman, he must be less down. Like, you remember when, what's the rapper, To Pimp a Butterfly?
I don't know.
We love him. Oh, it's gonna come to me. But when people saw his girlfriend, and she wasn't, and she was a lighter skinned black woman, black women went crazy. And so it's just kind of like, do we really root for black love? Like, is black love only exclusive for dark-skinned man, dark-skinned woman, or dark-skinned woman, any shade man? Because we don't have the same complaint when there's a dark-skinned woman with a lighter-skinned man. Nobody complains about that. I've never seen an uproar about a dark-skinned woman married to or dating a lighter-skinned black man. In fact, one of the couples in the show, Joy, who plays Charity on Greenleaf, is married to a very light-skinned black man. In fact, when I really looked at the photos of the couples and have been watching the show, there are only like three women on there who I would actually consider light-skinned. The other ones just happen to be maybe a two lighter brown than the men they're married to, but they're not light-skinned women. So, okay. I mean, these cultures and politics, let's talk about that guy. It's a lot.
Okay, great. I know. So it's a whole lot to unpack. If you guys are just tuning in today, we're looking at colorism, the impact it has on dating, and as Fatima has posed this question, who are light-skinned women able to date? We do have a caller, so we're going to go to the phone line. Caller at 618, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Hadi.
Hey, Hadi.
Hey.
Hi.
So I love this conversation. I really do. And I happen to be a light skin, female. Dr. Guy can definitely vouch for that.
Very much so.
And so, Fatima, you bring up a lot of those things I've had to deal with all my life, about who I can date, who I should date, and what it looked like growing up in my household. I'm the oldest of four girls, and all of us are very light, and my mother is also light. I will say this. A lot of that, when we are pushed to date blacker or darker men, is because of our parents, especially your mother, and mainly because if she's really pro-black or real has a sense of who she is as a black woman, such as my mother did, she wanted her some brown chocolate baby.
But I mean, your mom is light.
Yes. So even she, I can recall my mother always saying, bring me a black boy in here. Like, she didn't really care for a light-skinned man for me today. And a lot of that has to do because I'm extremely light. Like, I have to walk around. I have a T-shirt that says black mixed with black because I get questioned all my life. I've been questioned, when am I mixed with? Nobody wants to believe that both of my parents happen to be African-American. I'm either mixed with Spanish, white, anything but black. So I've always had to deal with the colorism of being a light-skinned black woman. I do feel like light-skinned black women have the option to date whoever they want to, but I do believe because of the way we've been brought up and how we identify ourselves that most of us are more likely to be attracted or want to be with a darker-skinned man. Just because
Go ahead, Heidi.
In my thought process, I've dated all race, all colors. I don't really think I have so much of a preference. I think I really base it on the characteristic of a man versus how he looks. So I've been in love with the light-skinned brother, and I've also been in love with the dark-skinned brother. But I think just talking to other light-skinned women, a lot of it is the whole thing of being able to identify being black. You know, if dating someone darker just is more so to identify with being black, because we get ridiculed from the time we're in elementary school from our peers. I've always been ridiculed because I'm a light-skinned girl. And I'm fighting white girls. I'm fighting my own. I'm fighting other black girls because I'm too light. You think you too cute. Oh, you think because you got color hair or color eyes, you better than me. Never feel that way, never think that way, but have to consistently prove my blackness. So when you're consistently trying to prove it to everyone, you're more likely to try to find something that's going to pull you to it. So that may be a subconscious reason why black light-skinned women tend to be more attractive to or want to be with, or their preference is to be with a darker-skinned man.
Hadeen, this is the reason why I love these opportunities that we have to have these types of discussions. And Fatima, I'm so glad that you chose this topic and to pose this different perspective, because I can only understand my experience as a dark-skinned black woman. And so to hear you, Hadeen, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that sounds frustrating, disappointing, like all the things that I have probably experienced as a dark-skinned woman, you've experienced very similar for the same reason, just because you're light. So you've been ridiculed because you're light. So that's an interesting take. Fatima, sorry about that.
Absolutely. I mean, she hit on so many things, and actually – some nuance to make me think about, like, you know, myself, some of the things that she said, because my parents are both very dark-skinned people, and so when I was born, nobody, in fact, my mom's own family members, they thought that she had, like, kidnapped me or something. they didn't believe that I was actually her kid for a very long time. But, I mean, you also have to, I mean, but that can happen with us. Like, I mean, that's just to be
right.
a Black American, like, sometimes it just pops out that way, right? And so, but also when she talked about, you know, how your parents raised you, like, I feel like a lot of the best things about me I get from my dad and how my dad raised me. Like my, you know, my thirst for knowledge and intellect, but particularly my pro-Blackness is all my daddy. Like my daddy was a junior Black Panther. He was so, like, for me, I'm so blackity, black. And then, like, and it just so happens that my daddy is a dark-skinned Black man with a bald head who wears glasses, so that's probably
oh, my
that,
goodness.
Too. But I really don't think that I'm trying to date my dad, but.
Now, okay, Fatima.
But also the part about, I don't talk about this a lot because I reject it, because I feel like, because I hate pushing this narrative, how I said earlier, I'm usually on the other side. Like, I don't usually like to sit around and talk about, you know, these tragic light-skinned people's stories. But, yes, I grew up with the, you think you're better than us, you think you're a white girl, you talk like, I experienced that. But for me, I have always had this wanting to lean into Blackness attitude. And so I think, like, part of that leaning in probably drives some of that preference as well, because it's like, you know, the dream of my life is to have some chocolate babies and stick it to the man.
Oh, my goodness.
So I do, like, I think all of those nuances certainly play a part, like, in shaping that preference when she was talking mm-hmm. about, you know, how – you know, you want to feel, if you're constantly trying to prove your Blackness and you are trying to feel closer and more aligned to it, well, then you might gravitate in that area. And it's not that, you know, it's not this malicious thing, but it really is a, I'm in this community and I want to be in this community and I want to feel a part of this community. And then somehow even that ends up being a bad thing, because it's like, how dare you, you know? And I want to say something right quick that came to my mind, how I was talking about nobody complaining about Black women dating lighter skinned men. So these women were saying Tracee Ellis Ross isn't Black because she's biracial, but nobody ever says Barack Obama isn't Black and he's biracial. We consider him a Black man. And part of the reason that so many people love Michelle Obama, our forever first lady, is because she's a dark-skinned Black woman. Mm-hmm. If Michelle Obama were a light-skinned Black woman, we would still be happy that she was married to a Black woman. But the fact that she's a dark-skinned Black woman, that made us all feel kind of like, yeah, like he's red, like he's and you know what that means. But at the same time, it's like, think about that, though.
So, Fatima, one of the things that when we were talking about this topic, and Hadi, definitely feel free to chime in on this, when the topic came up, and I think you were using the example from the Black love scenario, and so if a woman is a fair-skinned woman, if she dates a dark-skinned man or if she dates a light-skinned man, then she is criticized. So it doesn't matter what color man she dates if she's light-skinned. She just shouldn't have the ability to date.
Right, that's why I raised the question. That's why I raised the question. Like, who's okay to date? Who's okay for light-skinned Black women to date?
But realistically, is that realistic, right? Because she's a woman, so she should be able to date just like a dark-skinned woman dates. But I don't think it's about who she can date. I think when women are criticizing her, I think it's because of their own feelings of discrimination that they have experienced in their own dating realm. So for them,
absolutely,
she becomes another woman who has taken a man potentially away from the one that she might have had. But she's gotten
exactly.
him because she was light-skinned. So
right.
I think that that's what it becomes
yeah.
more about.
That's
yes,
what it comes
think...
down to, and that's where I want to get to. Like, she becomes a symbol of the oppression and the rejection that you may have given your – she's a symbol of that. When, in fact, not, it could be so far away from that and have nothing to do with it. Sometimes the assumption is it's negative about her and negative about him because he somehow, you know, we automatically assume that, you know, he probably don't even like dark-skinned women. Oh, here's another man with a light-skinned woman, right? And not just celebrate the fact that these are two black people that's together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You guys, if you are just tuning in, we are talking about colorism. How it is affecting modern-day dating. If you want to join this conversation, please feel free to call in at 914-205-5902 if you are listening online. And one of our listeners said that, and this is a male, he said that he has heard that black men get criticized for dating light-skinned black women. So
Peter,
that's
what?
An interesting perspective. He's heard that black men get criticized for dating light-skinned black women.
Who are they being criticized by, though? I would venture to say they're being criticized by black women. Like, who are they being criticized by? Yeah, but they are. Like, that's the point that I'm making.
Mm-hmm.
His downness becomes questioned. Like, Kendrick Lamar, that's the rapper
mm-hmm.
that I was talking about. Kendrick Lamar, everybody was like, oh, he's so woke, he's so down, blah, all this stuff is uplifting. And then when we saw his girlfriend, and she was a light-skinned black woman, child, black women got pissed off. Oh, he's not as woke as we thought he was. He's as down as we thought he was. Oh, look, he was a light-skinned woman. Like, so it's like,
right.
Your wokeness and your blackness as a man gets questioned, and I don't think that it's really coming from other men. It's coming from black women. And
it is.
So
Fatima,
like,
you said yes.
It is.
Fatima, that question you posed, who's criticizing, you asked him who's criticizing black men for dating light-skinned women. He said it's black women.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And that's why
he's
I
right.
said that this is a come to Jesus moment for black men. Like, we need, all of us need to sit with this and like, really have a conversation about our own feelings of inferiority, what white supremacy has done to us. You know, tell being able to sit down and tell the stories about how, you know, we were slighted, or somebody say you're pretty for a dark skinned girl, or what, you know, whatever it is. Like, let's all of us have a conversation about how we got to this place, because it's not a.
I think we got to talk about it, though. Like, Fatima, we have to do exactly what you said, but I think we need both sides. So, again, Hadi, I'm so glad that you called in today, and so I'm keeping you hostage on the show because, again, I can only speak from the perspective of a dark-skinned black woman. And Fatima over here talking about she not light, but she not dark. So, I'll put it on the other side. I'm going to say that. Right.
I got it.
She on the other side of the team. I mean, honey, she got some work over there. But what I do think, and maybe this is something that we will be able to pull together on a future show, is that I would love to have a panel of dark-skinned women and a panel of light-skinned women so that we can have more dialogue about our experiences and why we are coming at each other in the way that we are coming at each other. And I think that we are sharing very similar experiences just from the dark woman's perspective and the light woman's perspective. And instead of us just, as Fatima said, really doing some self-introspection and saying, okay, what is this about? Is this my own stuff? Am I hating on this light-skinned, curly-haired, blue-eyed woman because of my own levels of insecurities? Or do I really have a reason to dislike her for dating who she's dating? But that's going to call a lot of people out on their stuff. And I don't know how many of us are really ready to deal with that. It's difficult.
It is very difficult. I think it's very difficult because we have to then deal with our childhood experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things that as we become adults, if we really take a key, lock it up, and throw it away, we don't deal with it. So, it's going to take that real conversations and feelings getting hurt, because I do believe that, you know, we as Black women, we have the same experiences, but we don't seem to believe so because of social racism, because of the what they have told us, what they have put into our parents, because a lot of this is just generational of being dark skinned, don't go outside so you don't get no darker, get a darker man so you can have some brown babies. I mean, a lot of this is just generational slave trauma that we've carried on from time and time and time again. And, I mean, there's been documentaries about it. There was a documentary called Color Girl. One of the documentaries was based on the experience of the darker hue Black woman and then the experience of the lighter skin hue woman. And when you look at both of those documentaries, the experience, the pain is in both of us. And it's like, okay, when do we change this dialogue? So I really feel like the dialogue needs to happen, because I still to this day get ridiculed for being a light-skinned woman. And I'm out here going through the same fight that you are going through as a dark-skinned woman. And I always tell, me and my sisters have this conversation all the time. We're out on the front line like everyone else, but we do are very aware of our privileges of being light-skinned. But it takes some awareness of being that, to understand that. Because I do understand that having the light hue has gotten me into certain situations or out of certain situations that a dark-skinned woman probably wouldn't have. I do understand that, and I'm very conscious and aware of it. But I think a lot of times, Black women as a whole, we don't seem to want to have that conversation.
But how do you acknowledge that you are aware of it? And I think that's a difference. I think sometimes it creates frustration for women that are of the darker complexion when maybe they do try to address to maybe their fair-skinned friends or, you know, lighter-skinned women that they will just talk about the challenges, and it's ignored. Or light-skinned women don't acknowledge their privilege. Like, there is a such thing as light-skinned privilege. And so the fact that you acknowledge it makes a difference than walking around, it's like, I don't know what's wrong with you. Like, you're the one with low self-worth. You need to get it together. And I think that's kind of some of the experience that some women have had, which makes them, again, even more spiteful towards these light-skinned women that they consider, you know, other and not part of this Black culture that we all are experiencing at the same time.
Exactly. Yes. That is true.
We have a comment from one of our listeners. She says, history created the colorism. Light-skinned women worked in the master's house. Dark-skinned women worked in the field. So it was thought that light-skinned women had it easier, but remember, they were being raped, and so their experiences were not easy either.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we know about other people's experiences, it helps us become more empathetic towards them, right? Like, it really prevents you from harboring ill feelings towards that particular person or a group of people when you better understand their experiences. And so being a therapist, that's one of the things that we are taught very early on in our program, is that we have to learn how to be empathetic with our clients. The more empathetic that we are, the better equipped we'll be in being able to help our clients. And so I think that that's something that moving forward, we have to figure out, how do we help each other develop a better sense of empathy? Because women, I don't even care what ethnicity you are, you've experienced some type of pain just because you are a woman. right? Like you've experienced something. And colorism isn't something that is just happening in the Black community. It's taking place in the Latino community, in the Asian community. Like there are other communities of women that are experiencing this very similar concept, right? Whether they're talking about it or not, I don't know, because I'm not in that community, obviously. But I do know that we're experiencing these things, and instead of us trying to figure out as a whole, like, what do we do to change it? We keep going over these same cycles. We keep repeating them, right? We keep teaching our kids how to do the same thing. Fatima, you're from Louisiana. New Orleans. You can probably explain this best, the whole paper bag test. And when I lived there, it was in the 90s. And people still reference the brown paper bag in the 90s. So it is my guess that if I were to go and live back in New Orleans again, there are probably still groups of people that reference the brown paper bag.
Oh, absolutely. There are still remnants of that. I mean, you don't actively see it in action as much, but of course, like, you know, I remember the first time I went to a party at the Autocrat, and that was, like, such a big deal to my dad because he was like, I could never go to the Autocrat Club because the Autocrat Club, like, has these very famous brown doors, and if you are darker than the brown of those doors, you couldn't get in. And so you know, or like, you know, my family's there was the dark skinned Catholic church and the light skinned Catholic church. Like, I mean, so it's definite. There are remnants of that still there, but certainly not nearly to the extent that it was in the 90s or even early 2000s. Honestly, so yeah, but it's, I mean, New Orleans is a whole other monster that.
Absolutely.
With colorism and the complexities of like color and complexion there is just like that could be a show in and of itself.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
agree.
But like
your
famous rapper from New Orleans, Lil Wayne, has a song where he says he talks about a beautiful Black woman, but she'll be better if she was red. And I mean. Yes, he says that in his music, and I'm thinking to myself, what? Did he really say that?
Yeah.
But yes, it's in his music. It's in his music, so, you know, he's well known. Everybody loves Lil Wayne, but that's his preference. He puts his preference, he tells you what his preference is in his music.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
his preference becomes a lot of other people's preference.
Yeah, and then, exactly, and then he's an influencer. And if you think about it, he was married to a Carmel, you know, Carmel, I can't even think of her name, but she was Carmel Brown. But
Toya.
If you know, the more famous he has become, the whiter she has become.
Yeah, absolutely. That is true.
So we
but
have
yeah.
to deal with the fact that
Toya,
social media plays. So, social media, our music, what our children, everybody is listening to plays a part in this fight as well. So Black women have to consistently, because we're always competing. That's the sad thing is we're forever competing for the attention of men. And so when you have music
Absolutely.
Like that playing in the background, then, I guess I would feel threatened a little bit because now I got to see, even though she's my sister, I got to compete with her. Because Lil Wayne's telling brothers that she'll look better if she was white.
And Hadid, that is the truth across the board, but I think that women are always going to be competing. Because if you're a single woman, then you're going to be competing for a man. That is just the reality.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the struggle comes in when women who see themselves as inferior to another group of women because of their skin color. And I think that's what breeds this frustration and hatred towards another woman because of her skin color. So if this is about creating change, then the change really has to start with each individual woman realizing we're competing, but I'm not competing for that dude that you're with because that dude clearly likes a rib bone. I'm not rib bone. I need to be over here competing with this group of men who like sexual chocolates because that's the lane I'm in. And I think that's where we get so stuck is that you're not going to be for everybody's flavor, right? Like, you're not going to go into Baskin Robbins and be like, I just like all these flavors. You're just not. So quit trying to be okay or be upset with a man who is saying, I just don't like that flavor. And that's okay for you not to like that flavor, right? But how do we as women begin to move forward with embracing each other when it comes to skin color and not putting each other down or not wanting to empower each other? And so even you guys, when Kamala got the nomination for vice president, like how many of us heard, you know, she's not black? She's not? Really?
Yep.
She's not black?
Yep.
What is she, you guys? Mm-hmm. How do you define her? Right? So if she was darker, if she was a darker, you know, Jamaican woman, would that have helped if that would have been her presentation to you all? Would you have then said, okay, she's a black woman now, but because she's a fair-skinned woman of mixed heritage, then she can identify as a black woman? So I think we continue to do this to ourselves. Again, mm-hmm. but it's because of our own feelings of insecurities or inadequacies. Mm-hmm. And we'll be the first person to say, I'm not insecure. I don't feel inadequate. I love myself. Well, if you love yourself, you ain't going to open your mouth and say a darn thing negative about a light-skinned woman getting no man.
Right.
Like, you're not going to be that girl.
And, you know, and the crazy thing is something that none of us have any control over. Like, we had nothing to do with the shade of skin we happened be born in like nothing.
Absolutely.
None of us had any input in that, nothing to do with that. So it, you know, it's like it seems like such an absurd thing to you know, to be angry with somebody about or to feel a certain way about, because as I said at the beginning of the show, you know, if I had some control over it, I would look like Lupita. Right? Like, if I could, like, but to really just have internalized white supremacy so much to the point where you have allowed it to shade the way that you view another woman who's really out here at the end of the day, you know, just trying to make it and just trying to be loved the same way the next woman is, you know? And, like, that's the place that we have to get past.
Yes.
One of our listeners, in reference to the Kamala, stated they are confused with equating black with African American. So maybe that's possibly why they didn't see her as being black. And yeah, that's a possibility. But to my response to that is that's just plain ignorance. Because there are a lot of people
that
are black, but they're not African American.
But that's the same thing we can say about
Barack.
Barack
is a man.
He's
a man, though.
So it comes down to being the fact that she's a woman that we have to question what her color, what ethnicity she comes from.
Right.
Exactly.
Gender plays a huge role in
this.
Like, yeah.
It does. And, you know, I think that we'll have to do a future show with both, a segment with a female panel, light, dark, and then another show with a panel of dark and light men, because they have a whole nother set of issues that I am learning about that I didn't even know exist. One, because I'm not a man, but two, I'm hearing the light-skinned man's perspective about how he, you know, felt like he was – I'll reference Al B. Shore because during that time, like, you know, all light-skinned men was like the Al B. Shores, right? And then dark-skinned men said they felt jaded until Wesley Snipes came out. And so, like, Wesley Snipes then put, like, dark-skinned men on the map. So for years, dark-skinned men felt inadequate because light-skinned men were idolized. And so now more women want the darker-skinned male. So now light-skinned men are feeling like they're ostracized because women don't want them. And so I listen to men. I'm like, really? Y'all go through the same stuff too? So I think we definitely have to explore this topic in the future with both men and women so that we can continue the dialogue because both groups of people are hurting. But, again, we're not doing anything to stop it from repeating itself. So
right.
We this show goes by so quick. Fatima, I'm gonna because we kept Heidi hostage for this entire show. Heidi, I want you to tell our listeners, as a fair skinned woman, what would you like them to do moving forward as it relates to light-skinned women, dark-skinned women, and what we can do to bring us closer together and to kind of bridge this gap that we have between each other?
I would say start having the conversation and being open to the conversation because I do think I do believe that we, as light-skinned women, we immediately get very defensive when our dark-skinned sisters attack us. So being open and being aware, I believe awareness is key because, like I said, I have four sisters, and we're all very light. I'm probably the lightest of the four, but the one thing we always tell ourselves is that we are very aware of the privilege of being a light-skinned female. So being aware, especially in this day and age, in this moment, in this time, understanding and having that awareness of what that privilege looks like really will help the conversation and having the conversation being open because there is a privilege. It's not something that I sit here and say, oh, I don't feel that I'm privileged about it. I know that I have the privilege because I'm a light-skinned woman. So being aware of it will help others have that open conversation, and I think it will help with the healness as well.
Thanks, Heidi. Fatima, you picked a great topic for us to discuss today. What do you want to leave our listeners with?
Well, thank you, Dr. Guy. I survived. Like I said in the beginning of the show, I was really nervous, but I'm definitely looking forward to part two of this because I think that, this is a big topic, and this is really just the tip of the iceberg, and, you know, we need to peel some of the layers and really dig deep into it. But one of the things I would like to say, first I would like to say this and kind of piggybacking a little bit off what Heidi B said about having light skin privilege. What I would like to say first is light skin, fair skin women, I would say it's important for you to, one, recognize and own that privilege and also figure out ways to leverage it. You know, I will not sit around in a conversation with anyone, man or woman, who's talking about dark-skinned women or dark-skinned people in a negative or demeaning way. I will not participate in, and I see a lot of people do this, and I don't know if this is only in the South, but, you know, you can have children who are siblings, and one might be, you know, a little lighter than the other one, and they give them nicknames like chocolate and vanilla. Or do and say things to really promote the prettiness of the lighter skinned kid. And don't do that same stuff for the darker skinned kid. I do not participate in that. I won't traffic in it. And please disabuse yourself of the notion that it is my responsibility to tuck your ignorance in at night because I will call you out on it. So I think that it's very important that we leverage that privilege in ways that uplifts and supports and promotes dark skin women, dark skin men, right? I think that's important. For what I have, I don't need, because I already know it. You are excellent. And it is my hope that at some point we all can sit in our excellence as Black women, and that if there's any takeaway that you can take away from this show, it's what I said earlier, and I'm going to double down on that. Please don't assume that if you see a lighter-skinned Black woman with a Black man or a dark-skinned Black man or any Black man, that somehow this is a slight to you, or that this person has somehow chosen a lighter-skinned woman because he perceives her as better. But maybe this just might be two Black people who happen to find each other and fell in love. And let's let that be okay. Because if Black love is what we are all striving for and the thing that we all want to support and promote, let's be happy when we can see Black love in whatever form that it takes place.
Thank you so much. So, again, Hadi, thank you for joining us. Fatima, thank you for this topic. I am definitely looking forward to us doing a part two. I'm going to go back with what you started with in the beginning, with Black love. At the core, if our goal is to build our communities again, then we have to build our families. And that means building them with light skin, dark skin, the same way we've been doing them for years. So whether you are that light skin or that dark skin woman, our goal should be empower and to lift each and every one of us. With that being said, you guys, don't forget to tune in every week to Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk, Sundays at 4. Facebook it, tweet it, pass it on, tell a friend about Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. And don't forget to continue to wear your mask and be safe. Thanks, you guys. Have a blessed week. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Who was?